1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hit. All right, what did I get up to?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of How Many, the only podcast on the internet that counts. I am one of your hosts, Jesse Jackson, and joining me today is Gary.
Hola.
Hi, hey, Gary.
Hello. Junior.
Hello.
And Bob.
Hello.
We are on a series of episodes where we are giving tribute to Sports Radio 1310, the new segment that they are doing, Bands of Your Life, where they give 11 questions and you answer those questions with artist or band, musicians. But the kicker is you can only use one artist, one band once on your list. And I believe it is Bob's turn in the hot seat, and Junior is going to be asking the questions. Take it away, guys.
Bob, the first question that I am dying to know is, what band do you absolutely hate and do not get? So start off by giving us any honorable mentions you may have, and then give me your answer.
I love your information. Give me a bullet-pointed list.
It better not be British Euro, or it'll be a clean sweep of everybody hating Depressed Mode.
Honorable mention is more hate, and then the band I chose is more I don't get. The band honorable mention is the Cranberries, and it's mainly because of those two hits, Linger and Zombie, with the most annoying vocals ever put to microphone.
It's interesting you say that, Bob, because you have two very notable karaoke's.
Do you have to? It's like a goat got shot.
You say that, but you are on record as saying you like Dreams.
Yes, I do like Dreams, even though there's that random yodel part in the middle. That's my honorable mention. But the band that I'm going to say I don't get more than hate, because there are a couple of their songs I kind of like, Radiohead. I just don't get it, man. Enough with the bleep bloops, all right? It's like it's not just necessarily genius because you throw a bunch of crap against the wall. It's, you know, it's like the Jackson Pollock of music.
Thank you. Nice. Very nice.
They're experimental. And man, so many people rave about them. And I think part of the allure, they must put on an amazing live show. Like, I know Saroy and some of the other guys on the ticket have really raved about them. They just got so weird. That first record was kind of conventional. You know, they had Creep, that was their big hit, which is a good song. The further they got in their career, the more experimental and just bizarre they got.
I like a couple of their songs, but I would almost put them in the overrated category as opposed to the hate category. It's almost like the Beatles thing where you almost get shamed into having to like them, or else everybody thinks you're a musical idiot.
They're definitely the music snob darlings for sure.
Totally agree with that, because I've had many a time that people have looked down upon me because Radiohead. What's the matter with you?
Their songs are weird because they drift into different tones. Like, it'll have really long slow sections, and then all of a sudden everything will go crazy and it'll be chaos, and some of that I like, but like you said, probably a little overrated.
Yeah, I could have put him in overrated as well.
Speaking of overrated, what band do you think is overrated?
So my honorable mention here is going to be Smashing Pumpkins. I like a couple of their songs, but most of it's just a beating.
Disagree. I think Smashing Pumpkins is...
I was just a little boy.
Bob Dylan. Robert Zimmerman himself.
Bob Dylan is overrated?
Yes.
And wow.
I think it was Gen X Day when he did The Bands of Your Life. He really put it well. Fantastic lyricist. God-awful vocalist. That's it in a nutshell. Neil Young, he also has a really weird voice. Puts off people a lot. But for some reason, I can totally hang with the Neil Young voice, but the Bob Dylan voice drains my life force. And so many of his songs ramble the F on. Another thing Gen X Davey said that I agree with is covers of Bob Dylan songs are always better than the original. All Along the Watchtower, better. Knocking on Heaven's Door, better.
I got to see Bob Dylan live one time, and yeah, I would consider it to be the best I've ever heard him, but it was in 1986 when Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were his band.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I felt like that band was so tight, it made Bob Dylan be better.
I had tickets to see him at the end of June, and of course it got canceled. I've never seen him live. As we talked about on our last episode, there's people that you go, man, I should have seen him. And yes, Sam Lisman will hate you.
Getting out of the negative categories and moving into the positive, band that is underappreciated.
Okay, so there were several I thought of here. The one that I'm going to use as my runner-up, and not that people don't think they're good, I think just people don't realize how many good songs they have. Cheap Trick. Like Junior thinks they have like 3 hits or something. And it's like they have so many more good songs than that. And they're also really great live.
But they're your honorable mention.
Yes, they're my honorable mention.
Can I guess what I think it is?
Yeah,
is it Devo?
Yes, it is Devo. Devo. Are We Not Men? We are Devo. So, obviously, my introduction to them, along with probably most people, was Whip It, because that was a big hit, came out of nowhere. And I love that album, Freedom of Choice. And it wasn't until I went back and heard the first album, Are We Not Men, We Are Devo, which almost like punk rock. That album is just so incredible. I love almost all their stuff. There's so much more to them than meets the eye. They were a performance art collective, and the whole reason they formed was because they were at Kent State when those shootings happened. They witnessed the shootings at Kent State, and so did Joe Walsh, so did Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders. They were all there. The whole thing is about the theory of de-evolution and, you know, almost like Idiocracy. There's just a lot of depth to what seems like just kind of silliness.
I 100% agree with you, Bob.
Wow.
They are greatness. Now, Scott, absolutely. Jesse, do you guys have any opinions on Devo? Jesse, I think you are on record as saying they are a one-hit wonder, right? All you know is Whip It.
Yeah, and that's all I know.
And get no satisfaction.
Yeah, exactly, with the potted plant heads.
They had a lot of bit.
I would have been more on board with Cheap Trick. The songs I know of Cheap Trick are genius. Live at Budokan, my roommate right out of college, David Fair, loved that CD. So we listened to it a lot. But yeah, I got nothing on Devo.
Now, Scott, are you familiar with the Neil Young Devo?
Yeah. And that is creepy as hell seeing them play with. But Neil loved them. Neil loved Devo. But there's been other times that Neil and I have not been on the same page about bands that we liked. They were just too out there for me to get into.
Devo is so hard synth. I think that's their appeal to me. Very similar to the British new wave band that everybody else seems to hate. I love them. All right, speaking of love, band that I love.
This was tough. Obviously, we already talked about Van Halen. I had a big Van Halen phase. I had a huge Rush phase. I had a huge Queen phase. But my runner-up is going to be Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. There's only been one Tom Petty song I ever didn't like, and it was only because they ran the video into the ground too much. But they're awesome, and I'm so bummed that I never saw them live. But the band I love, I'm going to go with the band that I think has the greatest studio album of all time, greatest live album of all time, and the band that I think has the greatest concept album of all time. It's The Who. You want to talk about a band? If I could go back in time, I'd go to Leeds, and I would be there for Live at Leeds, see it in person. That would have been so amazing. No band had that much raw energy and volume. They had what was arguably the best drummers of all time. They had what was almost unarguably the best bassist of all time. Roger Daltrey is one of the best vocalists ever, and Pete Townsend is an awesome guitarist. I love all their stuff. Who's Next is the best album of all time.
They're solid.
How many would you say they have, Junior?
15 to 20. Are you all counting? Right. Hear me, feel me.
Grieve me, feel me.
What?
Grieve me, grieve me, feel me.
I was thinking Mama's Got a Squeeze Box. She wears on her chest.
I've almost done that at karaoke because that's such a funny bit song.
I've always looked at The Who as being a real hit and miss type of band. They have some songs that I think are just, they're century breakers. Songs that will live forever, yeah. But then they have some songs that I think is just crap.
They have some spare songs.
There's just not the consistency there. And for me, I agree about Kit. I mean, as being a drummer, the guy was a monster.
You know, my friend, the late, great Rick Lisko, was a huge Who fan. And he used to always talk about that Moon loved Beach Boys. You know, yes. Was like, always like, hey, we should do some surf music. You know, and the other guy's like, no, we're not doing surf music. I know nothing about The Who except the hits. I did some episodes on Set Listening Bruce where I picked 10 not so well-known Springsteen songs. I think that would be fun for a Who episode. All right.
All right. Band that you can listen to over and over again.
All right. This one was really tough. I originally had AC/DC on here, but they're my runner-up. I never, ever get tired of AC/DC. They're
awesome. I agree completely.
For the band I put here, Ryan's is going to agree with me on this one because it's The Greatness of Steely Dan.
Okay. No static at all on this one.
No static at all. Steely Dan, they're kind of the complete package because the lyrics are just, they're impeccable. They can play so many different tempos and styles of music, and it's the complexity. It's so great. They were genius enough to bring in, like, Michael McDonald to sing on some of their songs. Mark Knopfler was on some tracks on Gauchos. They really are just an amazing band, and it's mainly just those two guys, Donald Fagen and Walter Becker.
Now, Bob, did you get to see them live?
No, I never got to see them live.
Late for that, buddy.
Well, not necessarily, because Donald Fagen still tours as Steely Dan.
Now, you mentioned Michael McDonald. Was he doing the backup on Paddle and Peg?
Yes.
I would put Steely Dan kind of in the same vein as The Who, because I think that when Steely Dan is really, really good, they're really, really good. And yep. When they're not so good, they're just kind of meh. Right. I hear the song Do It Again. It's almost otherworldly.
For the longest time, I thought that song was Santana.
So did I. I thought that was Santana probably for years.
It is such a huge headphone song. I could easily see somebody sitting there listening to that and taking a couple of hits. In high school, greatly underappreciated by me. And it wasn't until I got a little older, I started saying, yeah, okay, they got some really, really good stuff out there, buddy.
I would say the same thing. It wasn't really until college that I probably started getting more and more into them.
And it's funny because I actually thought Steely Dan only had like 3 or 4 hits. It wasn't until Bob gave me a CD of Steely Dan's greatest hits that I expanded out my number to like between 10 and 15. You sold me on Steely Dan, but you won't do it to me for Cheap Trick. I will not make the same concession. All right. Awesome. So next up, band that made me fall in love with music.
Now, I had a couple options here. One band that I was going to use here because I actually wrote an article that got published in a magazine about it.
Put that in the bragging montage.
Mark that under Who Gives a Sh**.
It's on my website, too, if you want to ever read it. It's about Grand Funk Railroad because when I was a kid and my dad would go to the record store, he would not buy me a brand new record. All he would let me pick was from the used 25-cent record bin. I got all the Grand Funk albums, so they would be my runner-up. But the one I went with is the Rolling Stones. The reason I have them on my list is the same way that Gary was talking about how he picked up a lot of his musical love from his mom. I did the same thing from my dad because my dad cycled through the same handful of 8-tracks over and over again. And one of them was a Rolling Stones 8-track called Made in the Shade, which basically was one of an earlier greatest hits record from like their late 60s, early 70s. That was my first exposure to the Rolling Stones, and hearing those songs so much over and over again, I just really liked them. You know, before that, it was almost all just the stuff I heard on AM radio,
right.
The bubblegum stuff, and that was really like, oh wow, there's music beyond the hits.
Yeah, I kind of put the Rolling Stones in the same category that Gary was putting the Beatles in earlier. I like a lot of their songs, but it's almost like you almost have to like them, right?
I always have liked them over the Beatles just because I think there's more edge to their sound.
There is more of an edge to the Stones than the Beatles.
So I was talking about that in an earlier episode. Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' kid, and he joined We Got This. It's a similar podcast to us, except, you know, they have more listeners, but they debate things. Choice was Rolling Stone or Beatles. They ended up going just slightly by the Beatles because of influence, but they really made a good discussion on it shouldn't be slam dunk. By the way, I just Googled the 8-track that you talked about, Bob. That's a really nice set.
That was a huge entry point. I mean, the 8-tracks my dad had in heavy rotation was that one, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road by Elton John, and Shotgun Willie by Willie Nelson.
I would take those 3 CDs right now. That would not make a bad road trip.
Yeah. All we ever listened to in the car with my dad was the Bill Mack Open Road Show.
Stay hard, Bill Mack.
Yeah, stay hard, Bill.
It's just interesting how much your parents will influence your musical taste, because not only did I get that stuff through my dad through the 8-tracks, but when I would turn 10, I got my first record player, and I inherited my mom's collection of 45s that she had listened to when she was a teenager. So that made me exposed to some 60s stuff like the Zombies and some other bands that I've never really heard before.
All right, next up, band that changed my life.
This was also kind of a split decision. These are both bands I was exposed to at roughly the same time. One of the bands is Jane's Addiction, my runner-up, because at that point, they really were more of a kind of a college band, and I heard the Nothing Shocking album. That blew me away, and I could not stop listening to it. But the one that catapulted me for the whole indie music thing was The Replacements. There was a radio station in Austin called KLBJ that I would listen to, and unlike most of the FM stations back then, they would periodically mix in some stuff you wouldn't normally hear on radio, and I heard the replacement song, Alex Chilton. I'm like, what is this? Who is this? Like, I've never heard of them. I've never heard of any of their song.
Really?
So, yeah, that's how mainstream I was at that point. I had never heard of Let It Be or any of the albums they had done before that. And not knowing anything about them, I just immediately like, okay, I got to get this record. So it was Pleased to Meet Me, and I just loved all of it. Found out, oh, wow, the bass player is your age, and he started in the band when he was like 12 or 13 years old. It's like, oh, good God, that's awesome. I would love to be that guy. They were the first band that I'm like, okay, not everything I listen to has to be something that gets played on the radio.
And I will say I've never heard of the Replacements.
Jesse,
are you familiar with their
not
catalog?
Really. I've heard the name, though.
They had a pretty infamous appearance on Saturday Night Live, like in the mid-80s.
Disastrous.
Their live performances were legendary because every now and then you would catch them on just an amazing night where they were just like the best live band in the world, but the other two or three times they were smashed and couldn't even play their instrument. The older brother of the bass player I was talking about was the original guitarist, and he drank himself to death. They were a very interesting band. They've had documentaries about them. They changed everything for me.
I got to see them at the Bronco Bowl.
Wow. Now I'm jealous of you there.
Band that opened for them. The show was running an hour late. The guitarist and the singer came out. They performed 2 songs and then left. And then the Replacements came out and blew the place away. I got to go backstage. I was sitting talking to Stenson, the bass player, and I'm like, what the hell happened? He goes, the drummer got arrested and the bass player refused to go on stage without the drummer. They were waiting, hoping that they were going to get him out of jail and get him to the show on time, but he didn't make it. So,
wow.
Yeah, Tommy Stenson, the bass player, is the one I was talking about that was the real young one. Gary would be intrigued in later years. He was the bassist for Guns N' Roses for most of the last 15, 20 years. I think he even was one of the ones that played on Chinese Democracy and that tour.
One of the things that I feel most proud about him is that I got my son interested in him, and he really likes him now.
Next up, the band that surprised you.
I think this was the hardest of all the categories. My runner-up is Porter Wagoner. I always just remember the show. He was the host, and they'd bring Dolly Parton out and all that stuff. I started really trying to backfill my catalog with some of the older country music, because I can't stand modern modern country music, and I got a collection of his stuff. I was just blown away by the songs and the lyrics and how dark some of that stuff
is.
That's my runner-up, but for my band that surprised me most, and Junior's going to hate this one because he hates this, Girl Talk.
Hit me! Generals gathered in their masses.
That's not a real band. That's just a DJ mixing a bunch of different songs together.
I know, and that's what surprised me about it, is normally I don't go in for the whole rave thing, DJ, but I heard Girl Talk album all day, and it's beyond mashups. Scott and I are fond of these mashups we see on YouTube, and typically it's like two songs mashed together. But this guy, what Girl Talk does, is his songs are absolute pastiche of a whole bunch of different songs. And you know, Paul's Boutique, Beastie Boys, is kind of known as an album that did something similar. But what Girl Talk does is basically creates music out of the entirety from all of the samples. It's just incredible the way he does it. To me, it's so cool to hear rap merged with pop or with hard rock. I played it for Junior one time, and he sabotaged and undersold.
I am a fan of mashups. Like, I like those YouTube mashups where you take two songs and you put them together.
Right.
But Girl Talk is one continuous mix that takes tiny pieces, inserts them in for about 30 seconds, and then it immediately goes to something else.
The thing of it is he usually takes about two or three of the songs and uses them as the backbone throughout, and then just mixes in some other stuff. The way that particular album was, it just was perfect.
Now, Jesse, Scott, were you guys familiar with Girl Talk
at all? No idea.
Yes. I am familiar with Girl Talk. To me, it was just like, oh, it's a passing fad.
They've mentioned him on the ticket, and I think that Jake and some of them saw him perform like at one of those festivals.
Oh, and by the way, Bob, Beastie Boys could be on my overrated list.
That's terrible.
Dude, they will definitely be on a future list. Enough of whip girl talk. Next up, Guilty Pleasure.
My runner-up here, Chic, because their songs are all greatness. They're so heavily sampled. Rapper's Delight would suck without the Good Times bass line. It's awesome. But what I really think works here as a Guilty Pleasure is Ringo Starr. And the reason I put him here is not for the Beatles. I genuinely enjoy solo Ringo Starr. I think songs like Photograph, The Don't Come Easy, the No-No song, his greatest hits is awesome. And I just think people write him off as a hack. He was a spare. He wasn't a good drummer. Kind of a punchline of the Beatles. He brought in awesome studio musicians, and his songs are just really good. His voice was well suited for the type of songs that he did as a solo artist.
Right, I agree.
One of my regrets is, you know, he toured an all-star band like Clarence Clemens and Niels Lofgren. Just a lot of great people. Yeah. I agree. If you read people who really respect drummers, they talk about how good he was. I would have almost put him band that is underappreciated. Even though he's a Beatle, as a standalone, you're right. He had a little something.
I always feel like I need to advocate for his solo work, because everybody always says, oh, Paul McCartney solo Wings is awesome, and John Lennon stuff's awesome, George Harrison. Ringo has a lot of really good stuff as well.
Plus, Marge Simpson painted a photograph of him.
Dear Marge, thanks for the fat painting of yours truly. I hung it on me wall. You're quite an artist. In answer to your question, yes, we do have hamburgers and fries in England, but we call French fries chips. Love, Ringo.
All right, next up, band I should have seen live by now.
Okay, so Tom Petty's out of the running because he died. Elvis Costello was my runner-up. One of these days, I've got to see Elvis Costello live.
He can do Veronica and then walk off the stage?
No. He's got about 40 at least. But the band I'm putting here is Foo Fighters, or as Christopher Walken would say, Foo Fighters.
Musical guest, Foo Fighters. I don't know why, but I assumed that you were Chinese. I've got another confession to make.
I'm your fool. Corona is preventing me from seeing them. They're my wife's favorite band, and I love them as well. And we were going to go see them in Oklahoma City in April because they were doing this 25th anniversary tour. I got us really good seats at that arena, and then COVID hit. but they got it rescheduled for December. Awesome. And then last week, tour canceled. Terrible. So no Foo Fighters for me this year. If COVID hadn't hit, I would have seen them by now.
We talked a little bit about missing people that had died, and I somehow never saw the Eagles during their original tour and then when they Hell Freezes Over tour. And so they were coming to Dallas with Vince Gill playing, and we had tickets, and COVID canceled it, and then they rescheduled. It's been canceled. And so, you know.
Well, hopefully you got that $1,000 refund.
Yeah, Foo Fighters is solid. They've got a good
that's a good choice. Yeah. And guest starred on The West Wing.
Is that the Foo Fighters? Foo Fighters. Yeah. But it's not the Foo Fighters. Yeah, that is them. We've actually got 9 performers doing sets from 7 to midnight, so I love Foo Fighters.
So Dave Grohl has finally gotten out of the, oh, he's just the drummer for Nirvana phase.
I think he's surpassed anything Nirvana ever did. I think his music is better. You can't just say, oh, well, he's popular because he was in Nirvana. Look at Chris Novoselic. That guy's solo record was a piece of trash. I'm with you on the Foo Fighters. They did a documentary a few years back about the starting of the band. My son and I went and stood online at some theater for like 2 hours, and we got to go in. They showed the documentary, and then a live via satellite of them in the studio performing their new album. Live right there on the screen of them in their studio. It was amazing, you know?
That's really cool. And that Sonic Highways thing was really awesome, too. They picked 8 or 10 cities in the U.S. They would go to those cities, and Dave Grohl would write a song about each of those cities, and then they made an album with those songs.
It was
cool concept.
Last question. Great band to see live.
He knew the CMJ indie stuff was going to surface at some point. The runner-up, a band called My Morning Jacket, that I have seen live, and they're one of those bands that are much better live than on record. But yes, Guided by Voices is my live band. They are just incredible. What's so awesome about them is their lead singer is a guy who's now 60 years old, maybe 62, something like that, and he still does high kicks. They did a 100-song show on New Year's Eve last year in L.A. that lasted over 4 hours. I know Springsteen is older than that and has that kind of endurance, but this guy, incredible what he does. And they're very prolific. They've been around since the 80s, and nobody knows of them except, you know, in the indie circles. But their live show is badass. I saw them at Trees a couple years ago, and it was incredible. They just bring it. And almost every one of their songs is super short, like less than 3 minutes. And they just go from one right next to the next to the next. And the dude has a giant, massive beer cooler behind him on stage, and he's just chugging the whole show and high kicking, and this is awesome.
So, Scott, Jesse, Gary, are you familiar with Guided by Voices?
Yeah, I know who that is.
Junior, next time they come through town, I'll buy your ticket, and Gary, too, all you guys, we ought to make a road trip of it.
You buy the ticket, I'll go.
I'd rather go see Max Sabbath again.
Max Sabbath was pretty awesome.
You know, we are the founders of drive-through metal. You probably realize that. We go out and do shows, they try to book us with the likes of Cinnabon Jovi.
Interesting. Okay.
All right. Well, that was an interesting list. Gary, do you have any feedback on all of Bob's answers?
I can tell you I was listening very intently. There's a reason I didn't say anything during that whole thing.
Bob cheated and had Depeche Mode as his answer for like 5 of these questions.
No Depeche Mode.
All right. Hey, pretty solid little list. Went a little independent, what I would expect you to do. I do think it's funny that so far, Nirvana, the Beatles, and Bob Dylan are overrated. So.
If you're on the Bob Dylan thing.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. We would love to hear your picks of the bands of your life. If they want to reach us, how can they, Junior?
They can reach out to us by email to howmanypodcasts@gmail.com. They can leave a message on the YouTube channel. Just search for the How Many Podcast. They can send us a tweet on the How Many Twitter account. Or you can send me a tweet directly, even though I won't read it. Mexican_Junior.
And you can hear me at @JesseJacksonDFW. Gary?
@Travel_Cowboy.
And Bob?
@LukewarmTallboy.
And Scott?
It's GS Matula on the Instagram. Scott_Matula on the Twitter.
Yeah. And you can go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us. All right, so this is the end of this episode. But hey, keep subscribing because we're all taking a turn and we're all going to share the bands of our life. But for now, thank you. Be safe. Wear effing masks. And we'll talk to you soon.
Like sands through the hourglass, these are the bands of your life.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.